have enough time. We don't have time to reflect and refuel. And so this conference gives us an opportunity. So wherever you are, if you're in your car listening, if you're by that fall spice candle, I'm so thrilled and grateful that you're spending time with us today. So let's get into it. Well, you know, the opportunity to talk to you about parenting, and parenting is not for the weak at heart. You know, I began thinking about this topic, and I remember about 20 years ago, this made my 20th year of marriage. And so about 20 years ago, we got married, and about 2 years into that, I remember thinking, do I want to be a parent? Do I want to have children? Do I have the goods? Do I have the stamina? Do I have the patience? Do I have the wisdom to do that? And there are a lot of things going on in the world. If you're as old as I am, you're likely thinking, well, what was going on in the world? Or there was a little known situation in Waco with David Koresh, and he was in a compound with all the Davidians, and there were so many different things. Cult leader there in Waco, Texas, FBI there. It was a lot happening. And I just remember thinking to myself, man, if the world is what it is right now, what will it feel like raising children 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and do I really want to do that? And so I felt overtaken and overwhelmed with, really, to be honest with you, a little bit of fear. Can I be a good parent? Will my children end up okay? And fast forward 20 years, I now have a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old. So clearly my husband and I decided that we were gonna, and it is absolutely a partnership to raise children. I will tell you that 20 years later, y'all, I feel similarly in terms of, man, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot happening. And so there's just so much that we are faced with as parents and decisions that we have to make. Now, I'm an educator. I've been an educator for over 25 years. I've been heads of schools, principals, all the things. So I have a lot of experience with children and with parents. But I'll tell you, I had a lot of judgments before I had children of my own. Have you ever been that person, you see a child in Walmart and that child's just flailing, just doing their thing? If I were their mom, I would never let them cut up in the middle of the Walmart. They would listen. They would, all the things, right? Yeah, okay. And then teenagers. I had friends that were ahead of me in the teenager game. And sometimes those teenagers, y'all, can go a little Cocoa Puffs. And again, I remember thinking, well, when I have my children, they will not go into a room and be quiet, and they will not be disrespectful, and they'll listen to everything that I have to say. However, if you're watching, you know that that is not the case. As a parent and educator of over 25 years, I have come to this very humble conclusion, and I come to this conclusion fairly often, that I am not as smart as I think I am. Okay, I have a little education behind me. Yeah, okay. Sometimes it feels really personal. Why are you not listening to me? Why are you doing this and that? Elevated his game in a way that I've never seen, with anxiety with our children, high levels of depression, suicidal ideations. There's so much that they're facing that I just don't remember facing all of the things and the decisions and the challenges that our children are having to face. Personally, in my personal life, I don't know that we share enough about what we go through, but we have been through seasons with our children that have been difficult. They've been hard. We've cried. We've gotten on our knees. We've called. We've phoned a friend. We've done a lot of things. And so there are seasons in our life, and I mean not seasons where I've read a book and I've had this difficult time. I'm telling y'all, seasons that we never expected, that caught us by surprise. Like, how did this happen? I thought we did everything right. Somehow we're sitting in this seat. We need the village. If you don't have the village around you, there's something that happens when we're outside of community. There's something that happens when we're by ourselves and we're struggling alone, especially with our children, because it feels so very personal when they're going through challenges. As moms, I always feel like moms feel like if your child is going through it, you're going through it. Like, if they're in pain, you're in pain. So you need the village. So if you don't have the village, I'm gonna encourage you to get one. You don't need 5 people. You don't need 10, and you probably won't have the 10. But if you have one good friend that you can call and say, oh my goodness, Joy has lost her mind this week. She got kicked out of school and I don't know what to do about that. And then they can share. Sometimes it's good to have someone that's going through that same challenge with you, because you can relate to them. But sometimes, this is what I do now. You do what you want to do. What I do is I'll call my grandmother or someone that has adult kids. They've gone through the teenage years, because me personally, I've gone through early childhood. So I've had toddlers, I've had them in middle school. Ooh, y'all, now they're in high school, and I'm thinking, this is a whole other level. And so I'll call some friends that their children are adults. They've now gotten married, and maybe they had some challenges. And then high school age, and like, Joy, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna make it. I'm like, are you sure I'm gonna make it? Yes, you're gonna make it. And so they can encourage me on another side because they've been through the valley of the shadow of death that we talk about, where it feels like, what is happening? There's so much darkness. There doesn't seem to be a lot of light. And so I love to call those folks. I love to call the ones that are going through, because sometimes I just want the real time, like, you too, okay, me, okay, okay. But then I want to call the ones who've done it and their children are on the other side. So find your village. And you know, one of the things that is really interesting, and I feel like we're doing better with this, but we're not transparent enough. You know, we're going through things, we're somewhere closeted out. There's a shame sometimes about the things that we're going through. But when we share with each other, when we get support, we give hope and we give living water to each other in places that can feel so, so very dry. And so I just want you to consider that. Now, if you're like me, I love a good reel, a good Instagram reel. I mean, you know, I'm not a big social media fan, but let one of my children have a birthday. And so here I am, like everyone else, there's the Instagram reel from birth. You know, there they are coming out of the hospital, smelling like Johnson & Johnson lotion. I mean, it's beautiful. Then, you know, Nia's now, she's in ballerina and Ian's doing the drum and all the things. Then there's the high school reel and everyone's smiling next to the cars. We send them off to college and then they meet some great spouse, they live by the Caribbean Sea. It's beautiful, right? That's what we put on social media. That's what we put on the gram and TikTok and Facebook. So that's the reels, R-E-E-L. But then there's the R-E-A-L, the real moments. And if you're like me, if you're honest, there are some moments in our life with our children as parents and as mamas in a different way that our hearts are just torn. It is heart-wrenching, those moments. Those are not the moments that we put on the gram. Those are not the moments that we have a little 5-minute TikTok with, you know, music in the background and water. Those are not the moments that we share. But I feel like those are the moments that will help us to just be better parents, be better friends, and all of those things. Those are the moments that the decisions as a parent, I don't know about you, but put in the chat if you're like me. There are things that my children, the ones that I've given birth to, like I brought them out of the hospital, so I know like they're mine, but they make decisions that will make you question like everything you've ever done as a parent. You will spin out. So those are those real R-E-A-L moments that we want to share with others, that we want to get support with, that we want to give life to. And we don't know, you know, we're in places and there are people that are sitting right next to us that are going through unimaginable things. And so if we really share some of the real moments that we're experiencing, we're going to give ourselves hope and strength, but we're also going to give others strength as well. So I told you guys that I have been head of school, principal in education for over 25, 30 years. And I will tell you, I had a lot of judgments before I had kids, and then I just told you I had them. I changed my mind when I became a principal, head of school. I really had another view of the challenges and the difficulties of parenting. And parents, ooh, y'all, there are three things that happen every time: embarrassment. As parents, when our children exercise their free will works really well as an adult. Like, thank you for the free will that you've given me. But when that 15-year-old uses the same free will to make decisions that are not grappling with the sense that, what have I done wrong? Where did I go wrong? Where have I failed? And I'm a middle child. So I'm always thinking it's about me. I had one of my children say, Mama, this is not about you. Like, this was my call. This was my decision. But as parents, and a lot of times as women and as mothers, we feel like, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? And so there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of embarrassment that happens. A second thing that happens is, I call it the Fixer Upper program. We're here in Texas here, Chip and Joanna Gaines. And so they have the Fixer Upper plan. I have, for most of my adult life and definitely parenting life, been the fixer-upper ambassador. So when my children do those things that just make you go, what were you thinking? I immediately go on the fixer-upper program. And so my children have become recruits, unwilling recruits for the Fixer Upper program. And so what is that? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. Here's the thing that happens. Our children make mistakes. They go left, as one would say. They exercise their free will. And then we say, okay, now I know what's wrong with you. And so this is what I'm going to do to fix you. And so it puts this sort of parental relationship with our children in a deficit model. So they feel like, I'm broken. Now my mom and my dad's job is to make me right and make me whole. Y'all, that is not our job. And when I tell you, there is no judgment that I'm telling you this, I am telling myself that. Put it in the chat if you've ever felt like you were the fixer-upper ambassador and it was your job to make your child right, to fix them in some way so that we can present them back to the world and say, see, all is well, they are well, we are well. That is not our job. I think we get it wrong. I've gotten it wrong. If you've gotten it wrong, put it in the chat. Sometimes we think they're ours. We think they belong to us. We think we're here to make them a really great engineer or a really wonderful this or a ballerina or a singer or a pastor or whatever it is, but they don't belong to us. And so when we put them in the fixer-upper program, I want to testify, that was me. The third thing that comes up when I sit with parents and have those difficult conversations is really the conversation of something has happened, and I'm really, really, really angry about that something that's happened. And then there's a breakdown in communication with the parent and the child. So there's an altered access to that parent. Now, I will tell you, I'm always going to be honest with you. There have been some situations where I've needed a moment, I've needed a day, I've needed a Netflix binge. I need a couple of shows or something. Give me something so that I can calm down to really bring myself back down to level that I can have a communication moment with my child. When they do something that is shaming to you or that you can't fix, a lot of times we push them off in terms of communication and there's an isolation that happens. Y'all, if there's nothing else that I've learned with my children, we never ever want to sever the ties of communication with them. Because as parents, we're not the fixer-upper ambassador, but we're the discipline, we're their soft place to fall. So if they can't come to us, where are they going to go? They're going to go to their friends. I talk a little bit about their prefrontal brain, and we know that they are not fully cooked until they are 26 years old. So we don't want our non-fully cooked 15-year-old talking to their non-fully cooked friend. And so we want to make sure that we keep the bridge, that the communication bridge is very, very clearly open, and they understand that I can fall, I can make a mistake, but home is where I come. My mom and my dad is where I get my guidance from, even though they may be disappointed. We want them to know that they can come to us. So I'm not big on tips and tricks and hacks. That's not really my jam. My prayer is that you will see some of yourself in some of the experiences that I've had as a parent, because navigating parenthood is very difficult. It can be challenging. Build and restore bridges. That's the first thing I would tell you. We are their model. Every now and then I'll share now with my teenagers, they're like, Mama, you did this? You did that? I'm like, oh yes, I did. I said, there's some things that your mama did that she's going to the grave with. You've made a mistake and you've recovered? Yes, that's the conversation that we're having with our children.